Recording just as I take that 17th sip of Fresca that's been sitting out for.
I need a 17th sip of Fresca right now, man. That'd be so nice. As always, After the Movies is sponsored by Fresca.
As always, I was going to say I'm just having a Fresca today because it is not yet time of the night to have a beverage, an adult beverage, but a Fresca is never just a Fresca.
It's really not. Nope.
Welcome to After the Movies. We're in like a weird in-between right now. We're taking a little break.
Yeah, we're closing the bar down for some renovations.
Yes, and so we always do this with At the Movies, and we haven't had a chance to do it yet with After the Movies. I thought it would be fun to take an episode to talk about the...
I think it's 15.
15 films that we've watched so far. Rank them. And discuss the next season and kind of just some Halloween watches that we might be getting into.
Yeah.
I apologize for my appearance. I feel like a fittingly casual episode of the show, I feel like I look pretty gnarly.
I almost wore the same shirt. By the way, I almost wore that same shirt, except for mine's got two like buttons like a Henley. I almost wore the same shirt today. That would have been crazy.
Thank God, because one of us would have had to have changed.
I'll go change into that shirt, and then one of us can change.
We'd be totally off course. Yeah, so let's talk about... Let's do just some general housekeeping up front. You messaged me last night and said that you were going to watch Midnight Mass, the new Mike Flanagan show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Did you start it?
Yeah, I'm on part 4, so I'm almost done with it. I got two more. It's a 5-part series, so I got 4 and 5 wow. left. So I was hoping to get to them tonight, but I'm going to stream and then I have to work tomorrow, so probably not going to until the weekend. My thoughts so far, I do. I'll get this out of the way first. It's a slow burn. Like it is, like nothing's really happening, but stuff is happening, and it's taking a lot of time to get there. But you are kind of like put to ease with the story, and the acting in it is like phenomenal. The cinematography work in it is great. So even though it's kind of like progressing slowly, you're kind of still kept interested with the acting and the cinematography and the story and kind of everything that's going on in this small island town. So pretty good so far.
Small island town makes me think of almost like a Stephen King story for some reason, like this New England, it's quiet New England.
I really I put it out on Twitter last night. I was like, man, this is making me just want to move to like a small island town. It really was. Yeah.
I notoriously am not a huge Mike Flanagan fan, which I've avoided it. I think he's a very talented filmmaker. It's more of just like personal preference thing. His stuff does tend to be slow burn. Which I don't always mind, but and I did love Hush. He did a film called Hush about a deaf woman being stalked by a serial killer that was very innovative, very cool. The Haunting of Hill House, that kind of stuff, I didn't really get into. Jess loved it a lot. His films have like a very specific look to them, and it's just kind of not for me, but I am hearing great things about Midnight Mass.
And yeah, not bad like so far.
There's definitely a good chance that I might add it to my list.
I mean, it is 4 hours of buildup right now. I'm at like 3 hours of buildup. So, I mean, take that into consideration as well. So,
have you watched anything else recently?
I have not. No, that's been like my only time. I've been so busy these last couple of weeks studying for some test stuff for work. And that's finally done. I aced them, so we're on to the next round of training. Rat. So I'm excited for that. So this last like week and a half, man, it's just been keeping all of the knowledge in my big head here. So that's what I've been trying to do. And I go back to work in a week, and then I have another training class for a week and a half, and we'll have another set of tests. So, well, we're doing good.
I've been working ahead. I'm going on vacation here in a week, which is why we're taking a little break and we're getting a little ahead of ourselves in terms of recording, just so we have some stuff lined up. So I have not had a chance to watch much TV either. I watched the Slender Man documentary on HBO last weekend, which I had seen before and couldn't remember. And it was all right. It was interesting. What else did I am currently rewatching the Batman films, minus the Christopher Nolan ones, because I've seen them so many times. But I am watching Batman with Michael Keaton right now, and then I will watch Batman Returns with Michael Keaton.
I like the original ones better. I like the Michael Keaton ones better than I like the Christian Bale ones.
They're very the stake. You know what? They feel most like a comic book than the other stuff. Like, it doesn't have that kind of gritty realism to it, but it does kind of feel real in the sense that, like, the stakes are real. And I talked about this a little bit with my Spider-Man rewatch, but like, you just have Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson just, like, fighting each other. There's no, like, big CGI ending to the movie where there's, you know, half the town is being sucked up into a black hole. It's just, like, very one-on-one personal kind of stakes, and I really enjoy that.
I think the reason, too, why I like those ones is because when I was younger, I don't know if you're familiar with Darien Lake at all, but it's an amusement park in New York State that we would go to, like, during the summer, and they had a Batman, like, show that, like, in there. So you'd go in there, you'd watch this Batman show, and it was just, like, the same thing. It was Batman versus the Joker. There's a lot of explosions. There was cars whipping around. There was dirt bikes whipping around. It's just, like, I just really enjoy those kind of, like, it makes it feel like you're just watching a comic as opposed to, like, watching a big feature film. So.
Sure, for sure. The only other thing I would say is I watched Fright Night, the original Fright Night film, for the first time, and it is just a great Halloween watch.
Nice.
It is, like, a perfect gateway horror for, like, kids. I mean, it is, like, an R-rated movie, but it's not, like, too terrifying or anything, but it's also, like, funny, and the premise of, like, a vampire moving in next door and having to get the local horror host to come, like, exercise him is very funny. And it's just, like, practical effects, and it's a lot of fun. Good 80s film, so
nice.
I'd recommend that for sure. Well, without further ado, let's get into this. We're about five. Well, usually we would do this one, you know, when a season's done, we'd have 10 movies to rank. Today we have 15.
Mm-hmm.
So would you like to, so we will be going through one of our lists, mm-hmm. and talking about the films, and at the end the other person can recap their list and we can see how similar they were. So
yeah,
would you like to go off your list or would you like to go off mine?
Up to you, bud. I'm fine going off mine if that's what you want to do.
Let's go off yours. Let's go bottom to top.
So bottom to top.
15 movies. Bottom to top. I want to know what's the worst, but it's gonna get bad before it gets better. So tell me,
it's gonna, what is gonna be worse before
your list.
There's a lot of bad. Yep. As everybody knows, this first the first little bit of after the movies was very painful to me, and you're gonna see it in this list. Some of these could probably be interchangeable. A lot of them I'd say were almost ties. My bottom film, my 15 of 15 films, is going to be The Conjuring 3.
I am right there with you, my friend.
I thought it was not a great movie in a lot of aspects. There was, like, maybe two things that happened that I think that we said were cool. There was, like, two cool shots, and the rest of it just was not a good film. It just wasn't okay. And it sucks too, because it was one that I was like, oh, we got to watch it, because the hype before, it looked so cool. And then I was so disappointed by the time that this movie ended. So that's why it's at the bottom.
Yeah, look at Malignant. I mean, like, whether you love that movie or hate that movie, because I did meet some people last weekend when I was in Pittsburgh that did not like that movie as much as I did. But whether you love it or hate it, I feel like you have to admit that it is, without a doubt, just more interesting.
Yeah, it's way better on so many levels.
You know, it's way more of a unique premise. It subverts your expectations, and this is kind of what I was worried about with Malignant. Was James Wan is a very talented director, and he created the Conjuring series. I do like the first two Conjuring films, but I feel like you have Annabelle, and then you have The Nun, and you got The Case of La Llorona. You got all these, like, kind of spin-off things happening, and he is getting kind of further and further away from it, and it feels like people that are just trying to kind of copy his Haunted House style.
Yeah.
And I just don't think much really happens in this movie that to make it interesting. I remember specifically being the man who is possessed. So they did kind of, they almost made it look like a courtroom drama in the trailer, which was, I was kind of curious
I was excited
about.
For that because it was like the right. first ever. I mean, the way that the reason why I got excited was because it was like the first ever case of a demonic possession. And then they just were like, yeah, that's it. Like, that's all we're going to talk about it. Like, we're never going to do it again. That's the only
time
we're going to talk about
like
it.
One scene. It's like one scene, the guy gets a sentence, and then you just like don't see him again until the end of the movie. So
yeah, and they did something bad too, where it's like when they showed the trailer, they showed the best part of the, like they showed the whole movie, like they gave it away too quick. So that wasn't good. I mean, usually like in trailers, they show a lot and you're like, and then when you go and watch it, you're like, oh, that's a little bit different. They just were like, nope, this is the movie. Here you go. We ruined it for you.
Yeah, I just, it was lengthier. It just, all in all, just didn't add up for me. Felt like a run of the mill exorcism film.
Yeah.
And just not very memorable. So I'm right there with you. That is my number 15 as well. Take us to number 14, my friend.
My number 14 is one that we watched together in theaters. M. Night Shyamalan's Old.
Wow, I also have Old at 14. I'm very curious to see how our lists shake out here.
I think it's going to change probably right around now. I think these ones are, maybe not, maybe it'll stay similar, but I think it's probably going to start changing probably in the next one.
I bet our tops and our bottoms will be pretty close. And probably. I think the middle is going to be a lot of like interchangeable. But so yeah, how is Old feel about a month or two later?
Honestly, I think I was more for this movie after we watched it. And then as the days went on and I thought about it, the less and less I actually liked it. And I think now that a month later, I'm just like, this is a bottom tier film all in all. Like, there's no like saving grace for it anymore. I know that I talked about like the story or like the premise was cool. Some of the shots were cool. But after thinking about it, it's like the same thing with The Conjuring. Like, you can't give a movie a high praise just because they did a couple things right when everything else was so bad.
Yeah, it feels like wasted potential, I think, more than anything, because mm-hmm. I do agree that the premise is interesting. And I was really rooting for M. Night. I am an M. Night defender. He's made some junk movies, but that's okay. We like junk movies sometimes. So I really had no issues with it. And this was, like, beyond campy bad. It was just, like, bad.
Well, you could see that, like, maybe, like, it could be a cult classic, like, down the road. Like, if it was, like, too bad, like, that campy bad you speak of. But this will fade off. Nobody will be like, oh, right. Old. Just not going to happen.
There's not really he's known for his twists, and not that there has to be one, but like the twist here is forgettable. The twist being, spoiler, that they are being given advanced medical trials on this island. The acting is bad, but I don't think it's the actor's fault. I think they're given strange dialogue, which has never been his strong point. And then I feel just like the direction was lacking. Like, he wasn't giving them enough direction in terms of like how lines are supposed to be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just feels like a free for all. It feels like everybody's kind of got their own idea of the character. They're doing their own thing and it doesn't mesh.
Yep.
Not to mention the absolutely bizarre pregnancy scene.
Yeah, did not enjoy that at all.
Two 6-year old children have the bodies of adults and have a baby. It was not fun. So yeah, unfortunately, man, it soured on me enough that this weekend I was looking for some movie. Walmart comes out with like a they come out with these glow in the dark covers of like horror movies that they put out every Halloween, and they had a copy of The Visit, which I really, really liked, and I held off on buying it because I was like, I should rewatch that first because there's a chance that I will purchase this and then I'll be like, oh, maybe this wasn't good either, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been kind of a sour one for me as well. So all right, take us to 13.
Moving on, my 13 out of 15 film, no surprise, because this one completely killed me inside, The Amusement Park.
Fair. I have that one just a little bit higher. Not too much higher, but we'll talk about that at the end here.
Yeah, I just think,
yeah,
I don't think it was the film's fault. it was just the premise of it was something. It was like watching my own grandparents go through like dementia and things, and like seeing it like go through its stages, just watching it just made me think about that. And I was just like, just so many emotions. I was just in shambles by the time like the saw was over. Like, so it just hurt. So it's not a movie that I ever want to watch again. I think it was good for what its purpose was. Well, actually, no, I think it was bad for what its purpose was. I couldn't imagine paying somebody to make a film about elder abuse and then having this thing come out. But hey, you know, that's what you should expect from Romero there. So
it's effective, I think, would be the positive spin on it, would be that it's effective. I agree. It is a film with not much amusement to be had at the park. I have it a little bit higher on my list because I feel like it is a little bit of like a touchstone in terms of being like a lost film that we suddenly have the ability to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of see maybe why they didn't use it. The whole idea of hiring George Romero to do your elderly abuse film is also very like a bizarre decision.
Yep.
It's kind of this thing of like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
I think it's good. I don't think it's particularly enjoyable to watch, but I do think it's like well directed. It's effective. Like I said, it is very unsettling. It is not for everyone, but I think that if you're curious about it, watch it once and then just kind of let it live inside your brain for a little bit. Not something you're going to want to go back to.
Not something you want to go back to. And I think this is only for film fans, like film buffs. Like you got to be a super, you have to love film. You have to love studying directors in order to put this film on. And we watched it on what, like a Sunday morning or something like that? Or it was like a Sunday afternoon. Maybe it was late.
I thought we watched it at night, but what I will say is it's not like, oh, George Romero, he did Dawn of the Dead, time to settle in for a zombie movie. Like, it is not that. No. And it is like an hour long that feels like
eight. It feels like a complete work shift. It feels like
twice that because the miserableness just keeps piling on. Honestly, kind of a blueprint for the feel bad movies of some horror stuff that happens today. But so we're close on that one. I think it's got some value, but I completely agree that it is not an enjoyable experience.
And now I think like in my rankings, these next four, including the amusement park, are almost kind of like tied. And depending on like how I felt that day, they might move up or down a spot in this four position.
Sure.
But coming in at number 12, another film we watched together, Spiral.
Okay. I am actually kind of surprised to see this as low as it is on your list.
I am too. And, it actually, I think it's 'cause I appreciated the movies. Like this one probably wasn't that bad, but after like really thinking about the other movies I watched, I really just put it, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised too now that I'm actually seeing that there, but
well, it makes sense. When I was going through my list, I just was kind of using my gut reaction to like, do I want to watch this again? Mm-hmm. How do I feel about this right now? Like if somebody asked if I wanted to watch this right now, would I feel like watching Spiral or the amusement park? And that's kind of just how I used to, you know, I didn't want to overthink it. So if it's here, I mean, if this is where it fits for
this
you.
This is where it fits for me, man. It's as crazy as it sounds. This is where it ended up. Not an overall great film, but it wasn't bad either. I mean, it's definitely, if I watched this film at home or like rented it, I don't think I like it as much. It was, I believe, one of the first films we saw back in theaters. So there was a lot of like just happiness around it. And then I think as time goes on, it really like, you know, comes to where it belongs in this list of movies as the kind of
that's
like,
fair.
Yep.
I'd say it's a very mid-tier film based on this list. I have it a bit higher, but it is kind of right middle of the road for me. I definitely loved the experience of going to see it. I appreciated you guys coming down to see it with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's something primal about knowing these movies are bad, but being like, ah, I got to go see this dumb Saw movie in theaters. I got to get somebody to go see it with me. It was the first movie I got to see back at theater, so it was great to get popcorn and to watch the movie with you guys. And I think that it is surprisingly one of the better Saw. I don't know if that's surprising. Now that I think about it, those movies are not very good.
That's not surprising.
I think it's probably like a top five Saw film pretty easily. It feels more like a detective story. It is still gory and has the kills that you want, but it is more spread out and a little bit more believable, I think, in terms of how it's played out. It feels kind of like Seven or something. It feels a little more focused on like the detective procedural. Mm-hmm. And honestly, the movie's carried by just the novelty and I enjoyed the acting. There's been some polarizing reactions, but I think it's carried by the relationship between Chris Rock and Samuel L. Jackson. I think it's awesome to see them in this movie.
I don't think we see enough of Samuel L. Jackson, though, if I can be honest. I think my biggest thing is you know, how they sold it as a Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson movie, and he's in the film maybe for like 10 minutes total.
Yeah.
Not including the final scene. But
he goes missing. So that's a big plot point. There are people trying to figure out whether he is the spiral killer or not. But all in all, I had zero expectations going into this. I just didn't want it to be bad. And to my surprise, for me, as somebody who just, you know, taking it at face value, I enjoyed it. More than I did. So but pretty standard, middle of the road, I'd say. If you're a Saw fan, check it out because you'll enjoy it. There's no reason you wouldn't, you know.
Yeah,
gives you what you want, but it's also not breaking any new ground. So if you don't like Saw movies,
you're not gonna get anything out of this, and it's don't like watch it to try to get like it's solving some social issue that's currently going on. Like it's not like don't think too hard into the don't like. Don't like let this film become you.
I honestly forgot about the social component of it.
Yeah, that's kind of why it's just like where it's just like, yeah, whatever. You tried.
Yeah, it is. The social component definitely falls very flat.
Mm-hmm.
Like these movies that it's so funny when like horror movies be very good at that kind of thing. And you look at something like Get Out, that's like really smart about the way that it portrays its themes and like, you know, you'd never see what's coming or whatever. And then you have a movie like Saw that's just like so on the nose that it's ripping your face off.
Yeah. Well, I think like that's
like
one big
torture movie that's trying to be like, the reason we're doing this, buddy. You like torture movies. Mm-hmm. And you're like, all right, we get it.
I think it's fine. Like film have like themes that revolve around like current social issues or like social things, but like make it the theme. Don't just shove it down our throats. Like, don't slap us in the face. Don't like openly in the movie be like, this is what we're saying. Just like show us. That's what I like. And like when you talk about a film, I'll like Get Out. It just shows us. It doesn't like slam it down your throat. So
That's a great point. So, all right, I'm losing track of numbers. So take us to the next one.
And number 11. So like maybe these next three, including Spiral, could probably rotate. But coming in at number 11, this has probably been the film that we differed on the most, but Army of the Dead.
Okay. I am very similar to your spot with this one.
Oh, okay.
I have it at my 10, and we'll recap at the end. But so I'm right above you. But I agree. This is kind of where films below this were films that I had more issues with. This is a film that I felt like this is like the out of my whole list, this film is like the middle ground where I feel nothing about this movie. The movies above it I like, and the movies below it I have some issues with. This movie just exists.
Well, that's how it should be, right there in that spot, like in that 10 spot, that 10 or 11 spot. It's probably right where it belongs, honestly. So
now, well, we did differ on and we did differ on some things, because one of my pros for this movie would be that
And this is not your experience, but for me, I didn't check the time on it at all, and it like the runtime didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, that was my my biggest complaint.
Right. So like, I don't know who. I guess I would say that this movie's for people that are okay with a style over substance, almost like Guardians of the Galaxy esque zombie film, where there's just.
I think you're giving it too much credit. But I see what you're saying. Yeah,
it's just very colorful, and the reasons to watch it have absolutely nothing to do with the characters whatsoever. Which I guess, yeah, Guardians is better at that, certainly. But you watch this if you like the Zack Snyder slow motion, impressive action shots. Some moments in the casino that are cool.
I got a hot take I want to give you real quick.
Yeah, shoot it.
So I think that this film would be better if you watched it muted.
That is probably legit. I bet you could find. I bet that you could sync this up with like
just some nice like music.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what would go well. I bet that. All right, my take is that if you hit play on this at the same time that you hit play as the first Wolf Mother album. And then you let their discography play out as the movie plays, you'll have a great time.
Yeah, I think I'd actually enjoy that. I think we should try it. That'd be pretty cool.
We should try it. Yeah, this whole movie feels like a Wolf Mother music video, but there's just annoying dialogues by Dave Bautista about his family and stuff in the middle of it.
Yeah.
The only other thing I liked a lot was the design. I thought the design was cool. There is some awful stuff going on with Tignotaro that is not her fault. They had to cobble something together pretty quick. But the look of the zombie tiger, the look of the main zombie who has this kind of iron mask to protect his head.
That was
kind of
cool, I gotta say.
I like that. Pretty cool. It was like a comic book. It was interesting. So that's where I'm at with this one. I would watch it again, but I don't think I would pay attention to it. If somebody wanted to like throw it on and there wasn't anything else I wanted to watch, I wouldn't have any issues putting it on, but I'd probably be on my phone.
Yeah, no, I agree. Cool. Pretty good for that like 10 and 11 spot. So talking about 10, now my 10th film of this 15 films is probably on the topic of sound. Tenet.
Yep, this one's a bit lower for me. How's Tenet been sitting you with? That's a more recent one.
I just don't care about Tenet, man. I just got to be honest with you. I just don't care. I don't care about anything in that movie. And like, I know that we have some listeners that I've talked to, and I appreciate your guys' love for Tenet. And I'm not throwing it in anybody's face. Like what you like. I'm a big supporter of that. So if you like something, awesome, live it, love it, like it, man. But I just don't care about this movie at all. I don't care about anything that's happening. I don't care about any of these characters. I don't care about the pincer movement. I don't care about the time thing. I just don't care anymore about this film. It's now been a couple weeks, and now I just don't care. That's why it's at 10, because it's like, I don't know how I feel about it anymore. It's just, it's there. It's a film that I watch now. It's not, I don't know.
Tenet's actually at both my number one and my number 15. I agree completely. Tenet is a movie that happened to me. That I did. I at a certain point, I stopped trying to get it.
Yeah.
And if that makes me a dumb guy, so be it. If somebody out there thinks that they got this all worked out, more power to you. Like what you like. But for me, this one, it was just like, okay, well, the next 2 hours are going to be over my head, so I'm just going to sit back. I'm just going to let this movie happen.
Yeah.
And that's what it did. Very impressive action sequences. Some issues with the sound, certainly. Some big issues with the sound.
Some.
Yeah. And I guess...
Wait, Drewby, I can't hear you.
The dialogue just absolutely gives out. I think that this is how I feel about Christopher Nolan as a whole. I think that I have trouble with the high concept stuff because it doesn't feel
simultaneously, this isn't this much like a Christopher Nolan film, this isn't going to make sense, but it simultaneously feels like it is too explored and not explored enough.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It feels like he did all of the homework to make sure it made sense, but then purposely left parts of that out.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, I can see that he's got his own internal universe with rules.
Yep.
But he's not really giving us enough about how those rules work.
Yep.
So we just kind of have to take him on his word that, like, yep, oh, it makes sense. Trust me. Don't think about it too much.
And I'm finally going to admit it, because this is my podcast. This is my safe place for my discussions about film. I get why people love Inception, but like that's a one and done watch for me. Like, I don't have any desire to watch that film again. Like, and I'm sorry. I know that's a lot of flack and people are going to be like, you're an idiot. Fine, I'm an idiot then. But like, it's that is a film that I watched. I think I enjoyed it a little bit, but like, I have no desire to sit through that and experience it again. I just don't.
Yeah, I saw Inception in theaters. I bought it when it came out. I remember it not making sense either time that I watched it. And I wanted to impress people and I wanted to understand it. And I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, you know what? I'm sorry. Jason Takes Manhattan is a better film than Inception. 10 times out of 10, if somebody asks me if I'd rather watch a Jason Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan, or Inception, I will watch Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
Because it just makes me happy. That's my kind of movie, and Inception isn't. And if you love Christopher Nolan stuff, I totally understand why you would love Inception and Tenet, because they are like hand-in-hand very similar.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think everybody's been watching / listening to this podcast for a very long time. We're just a couple of smart guys that like dumb movies. So,
yes, smart guys that like dumb movies. That's what we are. So too smart to enjoy Tenet. My brain suits that meme of the guy that's like sitting on a beanbag chair that's made of his own brain. Watching Tenet, he's like, seems a little pedestrian to me.
I don't know, much.
This pincer, I remember talking about pincer movements when I was in middle school.
Oh, so enough about Tenet, enough about Christopher Nolan. Let's move on to my number 9 of 15. And this is where it starts to get better for me. After 10, I think we get out of the kind of the muck, and Spiral really doesn't belong where it is, but it just happened to be there, so it's going to stay there. But
that's what it is.
But we're finally out of the trenches here. I'm starting to feel better this way into after the movies. I'm not texting you thinking about canceling it, because every film we watch is just absolute dog shit. So number 9, a film we watched together, The Forever Purge.
Also my number 9.
Nice. See, we're meeting back up.
Yep, we are meeting back up. How's it sitting with you?
It's sitting good. It's, you know, it's right above that 10. It's the start of the films that I enjoyed. And it's a good theater film, man. It felt good again to just go there, get some popcorn, get a drink, sit there with my buds, watch a movie, and just feel good now you left. Like, I just felt good about it.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about this movie.
I don't either.
To be totally honest.
No idea.
And I'm not mad at it though. Like, I know that I had a good time. I like these movies. They're bad and good at the same time. That's exactly what I expected, and it's exactly what I got. I had a great viewing experience with my buddies. I got popcorn. The movie was fine. I left the movie thinking that was a good time, and I didn't remember any character names, and now I literally can't remember anything.
I couldn't even talk to you about it, to be honest with you. I can't tell you a single... Like, I know what happened.
The Mexican border is the only thing that I remember, is like the end of the film and them, the irony of them trying to get to the Mexican border because the U.S. is unsafe because of the purge. And now it's starting to come back to me, because it's like the cowboy family and they waste the grandpa, who's very sweet and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They just go away with him very quickly. Yeah, it's fine. If you like the Purge movies, check it out. You'll like it. It is probably... if it's my least favorite Purge movie, but it's probably like 4th out of 5 for those. But it is exactly what you think it's gonna be. Similar to Spiral.
Don't think too much of it. Don't think don't Don't you dare start thinking about this movie. Don't even for a second start thinking about it.
The only thing that was in, that is interesting about this movie, and it is not the movie's, it is not a conscious thing. And that's why it's interesting, is the fact that the movie is about a militia overtaking the U.S. government. And this came out around the time that the insurrection happened. And there's no way that it could have been, like, rewritten. I mean, this thing was shot, you know, by the time. So that is just kind of this inexplicable thing that is, like, weirdly interesting for mm-hmm. it to mirror that. So for that reason, I would say, like, too, I would just say it's kind of an interesting case of art imitating life.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, it's a standard shoot 'em up horror action kind of movie. So if that sounds like your bag, check it out for mm-hmm. sure.
Coming in at number 8 out of 15, a film that I think I enjoyed, if I remember correctly from talking about it, but Malignant.
Malignant. Malignant is a bit higher for me.
Mm-hmm. I can see why. But I think because, like, we did the list a little bit differently, I think. So the way that, like, I think if I did my list the way that you did, I probably would have it higher. But out of, like, just my feelings right now about, like, remembering back,
sure.
Sitting at number 8.
Very fair. Yeah, Malignant's funny because I was in town this weekend and I talked to some people that did not like that movie.
Really? I didn't realize I didn't think it was, like, that much to, like, really hate on, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, and so the things that people don't like are valid. Dialogue in that movie is not good. It is corny, and it is particularly corny towards the end when...
That I agree with, yeah.
...facing Gabriel, and he's like, you know, she's like, it's my body too, and I'm locking you up, and he's like, I'll be back, you know, it's yeah, very corny.
That is, you're all right. I can definitely see the corny argument for sure.
And people are getting... seem to be getting hung up on the how is this thing like a martial arts master
killer, destroyer. Come on, you're not supposed to get hung up on stuff like that, because the whole premise doesn't make any damn sense. You can't get hung up on stuff exactly, like that.
That's where my thoughts differ. That's where I go in different, because I can admit that the dialogue's bad. I'm not there for this movie to see the dialogue. This movie, the reason I like this movie quite a bit is that it subverted my expectations. I really thought this was going to be similar to The Conjuring.
Oh yeah, it could have easily been at like number 14. It could have easily been way down there. It could have easily been, but it wasn't.
There are several points of this movie where it completely flipped on me. One of which being the mom falling through the roof. When you realize that Gabriel's like hidden lab is in the house. There's a great aerial shot of the house when she's running through it. That's really cool. The practical effects of this when they first show Gabriel and it's like a puppet attached to her back. Awesome stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And all in all, this is, you know, I said this on the other episode and this is kind of what I stand by. This is a me kind of movie, because if something is willing to commit to going full bonkers, I will buy a ticket and I will take the ride. And yeah. I won't ask too many questions, because if I have no idea what's happening next, that is like a ride worth taking to me. Mm-hmm. And that's why I like this movie. Yeah. I understand people not liking it, but that's why it worked for me.
I agree, man. I'm wondering if, I don't know. We'll see. I guess the whole point is waiting to see. That's why we don't tell each other our rankings before this, but I'm interested to see if our top three are the same. As just like
I don't think they will be. I bet they'll be close, but I bet there's going to be one that you really liked, that I know you really liked, that I bet will be in your top three. It's going to be a little bit lower for me.
Yeah. Coming That's in at guess. Number 7 out of 15. We're past the halfway point now. A classic horror story.
This one is quite a bit lower for me. But not because I didn't enjoy it. I had a lot of difficulty ranking this one. This is above my bottom three. I liked the movie. I liked the experience of watching it. The symbolism was very cool. another movie where I think it is maybe probably not as deep as it tries to be. Mm-hmm. But just an enjoyable film that had some issues for me, but I did enjoy it.
I'm going to have to go back and watch her podcast on it, because I wonder if I'm changing my mind. Like, I feel like I'm changing what I said, because I don't know if I went in on this movie or if I was like supporting it. Interesting to think that now, doing these rankings, I'm going to have to go back and see where I actually was on it, because I don't really remember my stance on this movie.
I think this was one that both of us, if I remember correctly, agreed that the stuff that worked, worked, and mm-hmm. the stuff that didn't work, didn't work.
Yeah. That is another reason why I had a hard time ranking this one, though. Had a very hard time. This was the only one that I think I was, like, really questioning.
It's pieces of an interesting whole, you know, it's pieces of something that works for me. Mm-hmm. I would have no problems going back to watch it again. You know, it's just not my favorite thing that we watched this season.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much lasting value it really has for me. It kind of feels like a pastiche of,
yeah.
We talked a lot about how other movies inspired it, which can be very cool. But at the same time, I think it kind of felt like a little bit like you put some stuff, some classic horror stories, literally in a blender, and kind of blended them up into something, you know.
My biggest complaint, though, I will say, is I did not like the ending and like the after credit stuff. I didn't like that at all. I mean, you could you could throw that right in the freaking trash, man. Like, it's, you know, I didn't consider that when I was doing my rankings. I did like the film itself. When I was like, all right, just do the film itself. But that after credits and the ending are just so bad. It is just not okay. It's not good. Not good at all. It just, like, it was such a great movie, and then it just, like, falls off a cliff. Like, right at the end, just jumps right off the cliff.
It's another one of those things of these self-righteous kind of, like, torture movies that are, like, pointing a finger at you, being like, look at you, sicko. You're watching our movie, and you're like, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's like, sorry, I'm watching this as part of my Netflix subscription, but you paid $100 million or $10 million to make it. Yeah. Right. It's like, don't you point your finger at me, director.
Yeah. It is the Bloodflix thing is just on the film gains nothing from it, and if it was cut, the film would be better for it.
100%.
So all right.
Moving on to number 6 out of 15, a film that I actually really enjoyed, surprisingly, very surprised about it, because this was kind of the turning point. And after the movies for me, I was like, wow, I actually like the film. It's going to be The Tomorrow War.
Okay. Wow. I am surprised that this is here.
Really?
I thought it might be higher for you.
Oh no, it's right where it belongs.
Yeah, Tomorrow War was, I think, a surprise for both of us, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I expected this to be very generic blockbuster.
Yeah.
It got dumped to Amazon. I am not the biggest Chris Pratt fan in the world. But I watched this because I love Mike Mitchell from The Doughboys, who plays Cowan in the film. I was shocked at how much I enjoyed this film.
Me too, man. Me too. But it definitely does not go above the other 5 films, like, ahead of it on my list, though. Yeah.
I just felt like it was a return to these blockbuster, like, you know, everything is franchise now. Everything is Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, we're getting this, we're getting that, sequel to this, sequel to that. This felt like almost like Independence Day or something. This felt like the kind of blockbuster that you don't see very much anymore, where it's an original story. It deals with time travel and actually does a great job on it.
Yep.
Doesn't over explain it. Doesn't run into a ton of issues. It just does, it has like
doesn't catch itself. Kind
of yep.
It's good.
That takes some skill, because there you see a lot of movies strip themselves up on the time travel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the creature design was cool. I was like, when I saw the creature, when I saw glimpses of it during trailers and stuff, I was like, oh, seems like there might be a little too much going on there. But I actually thought the creature was well designed, and there were parts of this movie that reminded me of Alien or Aliens, and there was some genuinely funny moments and some genuinely
creepy moments, I think, in this film.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think overall it definitely succeeded at what it wanted to be, and which is hard to say for a lot of films that are coming out now. So overall, really impressed by it. All right, you ready for my number five, dude?
Get it.
Suicide Squad.
Also my number five.
Suicide Squad. I think it's, out of all of these films, it's perfectly rated in my opinion. I'm glad that we ended up in the same spot. I think it deserves to be where it's at, which is another film that actually surprised the hell out of me. I got to be honest with you. The same reason why I like The Tomorrow War is because it like shot down my expectations out of a cannon and moved like all the way up onto you. Like they were just so blown away.
Yeah, completely agree. You know, I've been a crank on this podcast before about superhero films. My biggest issue with them usually being just how factory made they feel. And the Suicide Squad works because they gave James Gunn free rein to create something that was just very weird and unique and stands out against any other superhero film I can think of from this year. So, you know, the sense of humor, the acting is great. The performances, the casting, the misdirection in the beginning of the film when you meet the team and they're all wasted within 15 minutes is fantastic. But I would just say, like, yeah, the sense of humor, the acting is fantastic, and just how bizarre they're willing to go with it in terms of the starfish creature, embracing the R rating. It is something really, I can't even compare it. Like, I would be tempted to compare it to Deadpool because it's got that R rating and it's funny, but it's not like meta like Deadpool is. It is just, it really truly feels like its own beast. Like, I don't think I've seen a superhero movie that's quite like it.
Well, because this feels like a comic book. I mean, that's something we said during the podcast. Right. This actually feels like a comic book. It feels like you're watching a comic, which is what I feel to be successful. Now, I think DC needs to really just dive into this. Like, don't try to be Marvel, be DC, treat your films like you're watching a comic book and you're going to be successful, guaranteed.
I completely agree. I think if DC stopped trying to copy the factory made thing that Marvel's doing, instead just let people have the, I mean, they learned it with the Snyder Cut. Even if I didn't like it, they learned their lesson with people like wanting directors to have kind of final say on something. They gave it to James Gunn and we got Suicide Squad, so now start picking some really cool directors and let them tell their stories. I think
I agree. But yeah, that's all I got on that, man.
You got a four.
Number four. A film that was really funny and I did enjoy watching it. None other than Psycho Gorman Esquire.
Psycho Gorman the third.
Psycho Gorman the third, attorney at law.
This one's lower for me. But it is a film that I definitely enjoyed. This is one, you know what? This is actually one that I think I should rewatch. Because the more I think about this now and our conversation we just had about Malignant, this is a crazy movie. This one might be crazy enough for me to just say the second time around, like, buy the ticket, take the ride.
But I do have to say though, this film gets an A to A plus rating for me 90% of the way through, but the last 10%, the same thing that I said about a classic horror story, is the ending of this film sucked. But everything else was good. The ending of it was just too drawn out. It was too much. I get it. I appreciate it. But just know when to end a film. That's all. That's my only complaint about this thing. Just know when to kill it. Just know when to cut.
Yep. I felt like it was padded for time, but I don't think it was running short or anything. You know? So I completely agree that I do remember the ending being like, all right, like, let's wrap this sucker up, please. The girl can be divisive. She's sometimes very funny, sometimes very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I think their chemistry with Psycho Gorman is very worth watching. The humor is very funny. When he keeps appearing, I always think about the part where he keeps appearing to the dad in the bathroom telling him where to go.
Yeah, that was good. It was hilarious. Shit. It was good.
Hilarious. hunky boys. I do not like hunky boys. Or do I? It was very a very original, very unique kind of film and very enjoyable. So right there with you. Even though mine's it's rated lower for me, I very much enjoyed Psycho Goreman.
Number 3 out of 15, I think, is your number one. If I were to guess what your number one film is, I think it's my number 3. Coming in at number 3, a movie we watched together late at night, Fried Berry.
You are correct. Fried Berry is my number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it when we talk about my list. Not Fried Berry, but we'll get into... I had a difficult time choosing between number one and number two.
I could see that.
Yes, Fried Berry. Similar to Psycho Goreman in some ways.
So I
think better executed.
So I actually think my 3 is your 1. My 2 is... Wait, my 3 is your 1. My 1 is your 2. And my 2 is your 1.
I don't know what any of that
does. Did that make any sense? Because, so, like, I'm thinking that 3 is 1. So my 3 is your 1. My... Wait.
Okay.
My 2 is your... Oh, I think we're good on 2. I think our 3 and 1 are flipped. That's what I'm trying to say. Holy shit. Sorry, everybody, for going through that. I think that our 3 and 1 are flipped. Now that I put everybody through a mental exercise of stupidity, I'm sorry.
Okay, I see. I see what you're saying now.
Mm-hmm.
we'll see. We'll see. Fried Berry was unlike anything I've seen
mm-hmm.
ever.
And we'll ever see probably anytime soon. It was just a crazy, crazy film.
And it was the first film we watched for the podcast.
Oh, it was too, yeah.
For after the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your first time watching Joe Bob. And it was just, it was an experience. I had to rewatch it a second time because I got too tipsy when we were watching it.
Yep.
And did not remember it. Fond memories of Fried Berry. I think more people need to watch this movie. It is not for everyone, but I also think that there is like something for everyone in it. It is kind of all over the place in terms of genre. Yeah, what else is there to say about Fried Berry? What do you got?
Just shout out to Ryan Kruger, man. He's, you know, he wrote his own review for the film, and man, I think he delivered on it. You have to have a set of balls on you to write your own review that says it's a cult classic. But man, was he right? He was right. Good for him.
It was, yeah. This is, you see Full Frontal in it.
Yep.
Male Full Frontal. You see a baby be born that quickly grows into a full-grown man.
Yep.
You see an alien abduction.
You see an alien having a lot of sex. You see, yeah. It's
you see him eat a hot dog the wrong way.
Yep.
I mean, come on. It's just, it's a wonderful film. It's a wonderful experience. That's what I would say. It is so unique that it is not a film. It is an experience. If you're going to watch Fried Berry, you need to sit down and dedicate yourself to Fried Berry for an hour and a half because you will not be the same afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So what I was trying to say is our twos are the same, I think. Coming in at number 2 for me is the Renaissance man himself, Nicolas Cage in Mandy.
Yep. Also my number 2. I had trouble deciding whether this should be my number 1 or whether Fried Berry. And in fact, this was my number 1 at first.
Mm-hmm.
I changed it right before the episode. And the reason is Mandy is the one film, I think it's the one film that wasn't released like right before we watched it. I guess Tenet.
Well, Tenet, like that, but I think Tenet and yeah. Mandy.
Let me rephrase. This was the one film that was like over a year old
yeah.
when I watched it. We only watched it because it was on the last drive-in. It was trending.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like so excited about it. I was like, Jimmy's going to love this. We need to watch this movie.
Yep. And you're right. I did.
I think that in a more traditional sense, like I was ranking my favorite movies, Mandy might actually be in the top 20, 25, and Fried Berry might not make it there.
Yeah, but I could see that.
So this for the purpose of this podcast and what Fried Berry did for this podcast and what it meant after the movies, I think that deserves the top spot.
Yeah.
I think Mandy gets a close second for being just almost weirdly similar to Fried Berry. I mean, really just kind of that premise of like a batshit guy who is, I mean, I don't know. I guess they're different in terms of premise, but it's this guy that is being controlled by something other than himself, whether it's an alien or whether it's just rage. Having, you know,
cage rage,
working through hippies on psychedelics and snorting meth and cocaine.
You are right, though. It is very similar to Fried Berry. It just goes completely off of the rails, but it works.
Forging his own sword and fighting these slimy bikers in gimp suits. It's just, man, and the way it looks and the music, I mean, it's the color filters on that film are just unreal. It's like a dream. It really is. Can't recommend Mandy enough.
Me either, man.
Oh. So that means you're number one, and I'm spoiler, your number one is not in my top three.
Wow.
But I liked it. It's higher on my list.
Mm-hmm.
But it is Vicious Fun.
Yeah, my number one is Vicious Fun, man. And I did have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you really love this movie.
I loved it. Tell me how it's been sitting with you. It's sitting good, man. I just was so happy. I don't think I've smiled this much in a film. I just think everything hit for me, and it was just maybe a right time, the right place type of thing for me. But I've still looked back on that. I was like, man, this is probably one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. That's why it's number one. I loved it.
As everyone has said, it lives up to its name. It is like, it is a perfect, it is a by the numbers, like, template for just like what horror comedy should be. It is equal parts funny and, you know, maybe not particularly scary. The horror elements are there. There's definitely, it's like thrilling. There's suspense. The main character is likable. The casting is fantastic with the villains and the serial killers. It is probably maybe I can't remember when Fried Berry came out. But I would say this is probably like maybe the one of the biggest surprises on Shudder for me. And I think for the platform as a whole this year, I would highly recommend, you know, if you haven't heard of this one, I'd highly recommend seeking it out.
Yeah, get your Shudder subscription and just enjoy yourself and watch this film.
Well said. Well said. You got anything else that you want to comment on?
That's it, man. That's my list. And I could probably change a couple, but that's where we're at. Out of 15 films, a couple of them almost killed me. A couple of them almost made me throw this whole podcast right in the garbage. But, man, we made it through 15 films, and I'm excited for the next 15. So that's all I got.
I'm going to read through my list real quick, and I only disliked three of the films that we watched. Really disliked three.
Same.
So my bottom three, I'll just start at the bottom and roll to the top. Number 15 for me is The Conjuring 3. Number 14 is Old. So those ones, we were in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
13 for me is Tenet. This movie just ages like sour milk for me.
Yep.
Unfortunately. 12 is a classic horror story.
Okay.
11 is The Amusement Park. 10 is Army of the Dead. 9 is The Forever Purge. 8 is Psycho Goreman. 7 is Spiral.
Okay.
6 is Vicious Fun. 5 is The Suicide Squad. 4 is Malignant. 3 is The Tomorrow War.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it really, I don't know what to tell you, but I think I was just so surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
Wow, that one's, that's crazy.
It stands out because we watched so much horror, and this was like the only blockbuster. Well, I guess Suicide Squad would be similar, but this was like a blockbuster that we were not sure about that we took a chance on, and I'm just so glad we did.
Yeah.
Leaving nice. number two to be Mandy and number one to be Fried Berry. So
yeah,
I think overall, it's actually
our rankings are pretty close.
Yeah,
a couple of outliers, but
yeah, I think our 7 and 12 were completely flip-flopped. Everything else was kind of the same, and hey, that's good.
It's a lot of that midsection that was just, we watched, you know, good movies that were maybe not great movies, but we had fun doing it. Mm-hmm. And so I would personally, if any of this strikes your interest, I would just recommend anything that is not in our bottom threes, probably.
Yeah.
If it sounds like something you would enjoy, you know?
Definitely.
So with that being said, we're on a little break right now, mm-hmm. but we will be back with At the Movies on October 19th. That is a Tuesday. We are covering John Carpenter and Stanley Kubrick this season.
Yep.
I'm just going to go ahead and list it. We'll keep After the Movies a secret. We'll tell you what the first one's going to be so that you can prepare. But I will let you know the films that we're watching. So for John Carpenter, we're going to be watching Halloween, The Thing, Christine, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness, a combination of some staples, some classics, and some lesser known ones,
mm-hmm.
which I think is similar to what you picked for Kubrick.
I did.
You picked one from each decade, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these I haven't seen, some of them I have. We're going to be watching The Killing, Doctor Strangelove, Clockwork Orange, Full Metal Jacket, and Eyes Wide Shut will be ending our season. We are going to have at least one guest this season, I know, because they are very excited about both of these directors. And for our first After the Movies, we are going to be watching Halloween Kills. And here's how you can watch it, because it is coming to theaters, and if you can go see it in theaters, I would highly recommend you do. This is a movie I would love to see in theaters. However, if you can't make it or you don't feel safe, it will be coming to Peacock the same day that it is in theaters, which is the 16th, I think, at Friday. I believe it's the 16th. So if you're like me, you may be signing up for a Peacock free trial.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're there, I did just read an article that everyone's favorite horror icons are coming to Peacock for the season. So if you got a long Halloween watch list, you can watch. I believe they're getting a large portion of the Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Child's Play films.
Wow.
So that'll be your hub for Halloween watches. We'll keep the rest of After the Movies a secret, but I don't think it's much of a secret what movies coming
but
next. We got,
just so everybody knows, so October 19th is At the Movies, and then that Thursday, which would be the 21st, will be After the Movies. So we're taking a break on all podcasts. This is the first time we've done this, but we're trying to sync everything back up. So we're taking a 2-week break on all podcasts. So everything will return October 19th.
So thank you for putting up with us. We hope you enjoy the show. Please let us know. We're always looking for new movies to cover on After the Movies, but I think that just in the spirit of wanting to interact with people more, if there's something that you would like us to cover, please let us know, because I am sure that we can find a way to work it in. We are very excited to cover the directors for season 4. And we've got a lot of great HBO Max and Shudder exclusives for After the Movies next month. So stay with us, and we're excited to be back.
One more thing before we close for a couple weeks. As always, I want to give a couple shout-outs here. I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at What the Film Corps. They put their podcast out on Wednesday, which is convenient because ours is Tuesday and Thursday. So if you were like, I need to listen to somebody talk about films, head on over and listen to What the Film Corps podcast on Wednesdays. So it was nice of them to put it on Wednesday, so we're not competing against each other, even though I know that had nothing to do with it. But I appreciate those guys, so you want to check them out. Also, huge thanks to our Patreon members. If you'd like to join Dylan Painter and Jay Irvin, head on over to patreon.com/lomomedia. We have plenty of tiers. As low as $3 gets you in the Discord, gets you into the movie chat, gets you direct access to Aaron and myself, and it's probably, I think, the top thing we're trying to grow. So if you can support for 3, 5, or even 10, we would appreciate that. So thank you once again, Dylan Painter and Jay Irvin. You guys are great. Just making sure that.
Thanks, guys.
Just going to check that we didn't get any new ones. I don't think so. Nope. Same.
But you could be next.
So, you could be next.
Consider it. Scoop into, you know, if you're out there trick-or-treating and you get to one of those houses where they give you pennies, be like, hey, give me 300 of those. And then sign up for the Patreon for a month.
Send them our way.
Send them, yep. All right, guys, thank you so much for watching the show. We really appreciate it. And as always, I guess the bar wasn't even open tonight.
We open. I turn on the light. But we got to shut it down because the contractors are coming in now. And
yeah, get out.
Get out of here.
Get out. Get out.
Get out of the bar.